Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, welcome to the Paula Price Show, Dr. Paula Price. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I am wonderful as well. It's a beautiful day in Tulsa. Birds are chirping. I think spring is coming. I know the East Coast is getting hit with a little bit of weather, but here it is beautiful.
Well, you know, we always lead the way in the weather in this four season states anyway. So I'm excited. I'm looking outside, and you're right, it's beautiful. How about we were talking this morning about the birds? I mean, they seem very excited that it's warm. They were chirping like crazy.
Yes, and no change has come.
Change is a God idea, I think. Well, I'm excited about being here today. Actually, you know, my favorite day of the week has become Thursday, and so I'm excited about it. And you know what I like about this, my show being on Thursday? Actually, I was born on a Thursday. Isn't that great?
Ah,
so you know.
Well, there you go.
See, look at that. You know, I was born on a Thursday, so that was a wonderful time for me and my mom, I'm sure. And if not, I'm going to decree it was anyway. So it just means a lot. Sometimes it feels good to connect into, you know, just those little things about yourself. But anyway, we've got a great show planned. God wants to talk a lot today to his people about what's going on, about where he is and where he's going. I've had a wonderful week, Ashley, on my Facebook. Because, you know, this week God has wanted to reset some things. I feel that that's the timing that we're in. So I've been talking about who God is and how he is. And so I'm hoping some of our listeners get a chance to go back after the show and read those posts that I have. Some of them were a little long because sometimes it just takes a little bit to get God's mind out. I usually try to keep them somewhat brief. But there are times that God says, give me your ear. Let me speak. I want to talk. Give me your attention. You know, and in our very fast-paced world, and you know, our hasty, instantaneous, society, we want to get it quick. We want, you know, fortune cookie slivers of eternal truth. You realize that eternal truth, Ashley, cannot go on a fortune cookie sliver. You know? The only thing we can get on a fortune cookie sliver is, you know, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and also the shortest scripture, Jesus wept. Everything else worthwhile cannot go on a sliver. We can barely get it on a notepad. So God is doing something new. He's in a very unusual frame of mind. So I want to talk about that. But I also want to talk about, Ashley, some of the good stuff we've got going on. I understand that you're how to build your apostleship mission team is booming. I understand you're doing well with that. We're getting groups and in our Jesus classes. Let's talk about that for a minute. You know, what do you think is the appeal to our readers, our listeners, about those two subjects?
Well, the two subjects, concerning apostleship, there are a lot of gaps, even within many apostles, about what executing the office is all about. Many people have a similar story. Somebody anointed me an apostle, told me I was an apostle, and they have been exploring on their own and studying on their own what exactly that means. But many people do not have a solid definition of apostleship, and so their people, in turn, do not either. And so the commission course, I believe, is a wonderful marriage of defining apostleship, the apostles' commission, and identifying, bringing on board and training the team that is ordained and assigned to come alongside you to execute that apostle, your commission. I think it does a wonderful job of assisting apostles and their followers in separating the difference between who should be a member of your congregation in the wider body, and who are the select. You know, a lot of people follow Jesus, but there was only a core that ended up being his disciples and then ultimately his apostles. And that's what the commission course does, is it helps you separate who are your disciples, who are the masses that follow you, and then who are the ones that are not just chosen but also capable, qualified, and competent enough to assist you in executing your commission on various levels, just like Jesus' apostles. Not everybody could handle it, even in that crew. So not everybody could take it to the distance the way some of them did. And then, of course, Paul, who didn't even walk with him like that, still had to pick up the baton and give us what we have today. The Jesus classes are just fantastic because they don't just talk about this course is about the pre-carnate Christ, and it's called Identifying Your Godhood Nativity, which is language you typically don't hear when we're talking about Jesus. You hear words like salvation. So if we say we have Jesus classes online, people say, I already know why I'm saved. And we didn't say that's what the course was called. So this is about identifying your Godhood nativity. Can you discuss and articulate your nativity in God? What was Jesus Christ doing before he became flesh? And that's a question where many people go on pause. Like, what do you mean, what was he doing? I mean, what was he doing? Kind of like, what were you doing before you got to work today? There's a whole list of activities that you were doing, and they're very real and part of your routine. And Jesus has an entire life that he had before he became flesh and still has an entire life now. So the Jesus classes are appealing because they really crack open that mystery of Christ. So many Christians cannot defend Jesus Christ and their Christianity because they don't know anything about this man outside of what we read about him doing on earth, not realizing the Word of God is laced and infused with scriptures and revelation and mysteries about his pre-carnate existence. So that's why those two courses are powerful. They go hand in hand. Apostles did not have a job until Jesus Christ left. You know, he had to come and he had to go. So you need to know about Jesus Christ if you really want to know about executing your apostles' commission.
And the interesting thing about it is many apostles, because they were born in apostleship, as was the prophetic, was revived under the evangelical paradigm, you don't realize that where you differ from the average typical evangelical minister. You don't understand that. Now, this is not to invalidate one over the other, but it is to say that how Jesus brought the church into existence was not outreach first. It was inreach. And inreach means he started at home. And he says, start at Jerusalem, and then head on over there to Samaria, and then after that, after you've gotten that worked out and they're settled, you know, then we're going to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so many people don't even realize, especially apostolic folk, that Jesus didn't start out with outreach. He started out with inreach the worst family in the world is going to be the family where the parents handle all of their outside business and ignore the home. So they'll be well-known in the field, and at home, the kids are, like, neglected, they're wounded, they're alienated, they're confused, they're underdeveloped, undereducated, untrained. Man, that sounds like the church under this paradigm, you know, where you have pastors all on the highway, all in the byway, all in the hedges, and don't know what's going on at home, don't even care. But that's not an apostle's mindset, and it can't be a prophet's mindset, because the whole essence of the prophetic is that you have to take care of what's happening at home and secure it. You know, so Jesus, even when he birthed the church, and got that set up, and then they started going out doing stuff. But let's first get home, and let's start home with folk who like us and people who know us and people who want us, and people who have been groomed for us and prepared for us. So I love these two courses because they do that. And what I love most of all about when you're dealing with the apostolic and the prophetic, you are thrust, discern the prophet spirit in a person. Listen for that edge of wisdom, that undercurrent. I won't even say edge. I want to say an undercurrent of wisdom, because the bedrock of these two offices is an inside peek, an inside look at God's mind, and an inside track on how he does business. So that's very important. Now, why am I saying that? Because, you know, my hot button is wisdom. You know, when we think about all of the great moves of God, they all had a single theme. You know, and when you think about it, there was, you know, predestination, there was revelation, there was salvation and redemption, you know, there was charismata, there was, you know, the gifts and God, and there was the word of faith, there was, you know, everyone has one. But there is one thing that will always distinguish them all as God, but also tie them together, and that is wisdom. And so when you are talking about moving into the highest place in God, you can only go on the stair steps of wisdom. You have got to know things about God that other people miss. You have got to value things about God that the majority of people take for granted. You're going to have to tap into why he did what he did, not just that he did something. You know, the person who enjoys God as a worshiper and all of that, wonderful, great, stay there. But they're just interested in what God has done and how it translates to a benefit or an asset to them. But when you start moving into those higher ranks of God, you are not content with just knowing what he's done. The people who build cars became builders because it wasn't enough to see a car riding down the street or owning one and riding in one. They wanted to know, well, why is the car, wait a minute, what makes this thing go? And what's all the craze about? What's the rave about? And so when God wants to pull you up into his ranks, God is going to do so on the staircase of wisdom. The Bible said wisdom stands on the mountain. That means you have to climb and grope for it. And it says that wisdom builds her house on the hill. It says wisdom builds her house with seven pillars. So there's a lot of structural and architectural metaphors about wisdom to give you a clue to how it's important to God in sustaining anything you want. Lee, I get on this. So you guys who listening today, I'm on that hot button because that's my mantle. My mantle is to release things about God that are not commonplace, not because he doesn't want to make them known, but because it takes time, interest, and devotion to sit and listen to him. He does not pour out his pearls easily. He takes his time. You know, it takes a long time to make a pearl. He takes his time. And while he's waiting, while he's getting it ready for you, he's watching to see what you do with it. Haste will do away with wisdom. Impulse will do away with wisdom. Anything that says now is more important it's more important than how is going to do away with wisdom. Now, that doesn't say that there's anything wrong with how you do it, but when you look at God, God works on patience. Wisdom has one foundation. The platform of wisdom is patience. You've got to realize that great things take time. Hard things take time. New things take time. And so we, as this whole evangelical mindset, and I'm separating evangelical, meaning this let's go hurry out and save the world, from an organization that has served God well over the years. So make sure we put that dividing line in it as you're listening to me today. But that whole evangelical mindset is just let's go and go save the world. Let's just go and share Christ. Let's just run out and do something. Just keep on running and keep on doing something and keep on talking. Pick it up as you go. Don't worry about how you're going to do it. Just go and do it. That is not what Jesus did. Jesus never sent anybody out without training that he except when he didn't want to use them for a long time. He said, anybody he wants to use for a long time, he takes his time to groom them slowly. When you look at when he delivered the madman from Gadara, he said, listen, I want to go with you. I want to stay with you. What did Jesus say? You just go home and tell your story. You go home and tell your family and friends what great things the Lord has done for you. He wasn't part of the team. He was part of the testimony. And there are times that God wants those who are going to be a part of his testimony, and then there's times that those are going to be a part of his team, and those who are going to be a part of his team are going to be witnesses, not just testifiers, witnesses. So over the last 30, 40 years, we made the single most important thing is sharing your experience with the Lord. But what, not understanding what the Lord did, who the Lord is, how he did what he did. We didn't learn that because that takes time. And we don't want to do that because we want to garner our souls quickly. We want to get those notches on our belt as fast as we can. We want to get those, that altar brimming with weeping souls, converting to Christ. We want to do all of that, and that's it. And then we want to get be known for it. But I want to tell you something. Wisdom takes time. And the Bible says wisdom produces children. And it says wisdom is justified of her children. That is a, think about that. That is a powerful, powerful statement that the Lord Jesus said. Wisdom is justified by her children. In other words, wisdom makes no sense until it has produced sense that it went after in its children. When wisdom reproduces her sense in people, then she makes sense. Until then, she's not justified. People don't, people, you can't, here's what I'm saying. This is so good. I'm so excited about it. Guys, listen to me. This is really a piece of insight. People will push you to hurry up, push you to sign papers, push you to buy a product, push you to convert, push you to get on board, push you to join the masses, follow the herd. All of life pushes you. Why? Why is life pushy? Especially human life. Human life is pushy. Wisdom is leading. Wisdom will always lead you. And wisdom will more summon you than push you. Wisdom is a powerful tool, folks, and we have been devoid of it. We don't want it because you don't get an immediate return on wisdom. Wisdom is not a hurry-up return. It's not a trip to the supermarket, pay your money, walk out with your product. You know, I made a push to go to the store. They pushed me to buy this. Something made me do this. Wisdom summons, and haste pushes. And so the world is always pushing you. It's pushing in on you. It won't give you time to think, won't give you time to breathe, won't give you time to make decisions. None of those things. Why? Because it needs to dump what it has on you in a hurry because it has a short shelf life, so to speak. You see, things done in haste, recklessness, they all have short shelf life, so you have to keep doing them. But wisdom does not. Wisdom takes its time. It's going to go and slowly build a product. It's going to make itself known to you. Wisdom makes itself known to you, its value is also increased in you. You can value something you take your time to get to know. Half of these divorces, your divorces, what was it? We were in a hurry. Life pushed you. The dating club pushed you. The mating club pushed you. Your biological clock pushed you. Your self-drive pushed you. You never got to know these people to find out if your lives connected. You never found out if your destinies were compatible. All you found out was, hey, it's not good for man to be alone. Give me a break, all right. God, listen, when it was all said and done, man was alone. But this is what God wants you to know. Wisdom is justified by her children. Wisdom will always make sense to the sensible, and it will be tedious to the hasty. Wisdom is boring to the people who want to get the reward now, people who want to be in the push of life and not the pursuit. And see, wisdom you have to pursue. And so this is where you are. When I think about it, and I don't know who you are today, God is saying you're contemplating a marriage with someone you don't know, and you don't know, not even enough to hear from God. That thing is doomed. Of course it's going to doom, because you're not really trying to join a life. You're trying to extend a date. And any time you get married to extend a date, you will be divorced. That's just bottom line. Now, I don't know who this is for today, but this is the word of the Lord concerning that. If you got married because you enjoyed dating and you enjoyed mating, you have all you have done was extended a recreation, and you have not established a destiny. And God said something to me, whoever you are, he said, when you marry a person, you marry their world. See, you date a person, you marry a world. You date an individual, you marry the entire experience they have, all of their baggage, the good, the bad, and if you know, when I say that, you think, you do. You marry the mom and the dad, you marry the sister, the brother, aunt, uncle. You married the dog, the bird, the debts. You married the past. You married the future. You married the failures. That's what you don't think about when the thing starts working. Because, see, when you get married, you wake up the day after the wedding. You have no longer have a good night out on the town. You have a long life to make happen. Why? Because wisdom waits. Wisdom is not only wait. Wisdom will not only wait. Wisdom is skeptical. Wisdom asks questions. Wisdom probes backgrounds. Wisdom investigates. They experiment. It looks at it because wisdom can't be wrong. Of all of the things wisdom hates, it hates being wrong. Now, it grows from wrong because it's through our mistakes that we gain wisdom. But wisdom hates being wrong. And God is talking to us today, especially his body. There are a lot of things you bought into. Satan has to rush you because he has to reuse everything he calls a blessing to you. So he has to rush you because he has to get you in and out that thing in a hurry. He's waiting for the next person. God is not, God's limitless. He's not running out of anything. God's not running out of money. He's not running out of ideas. He's not running out of opportunities, ventures. He's not running out of people and resources. God is infinite. This world is not. It's passing away. Everything that it does, it has to push you because it has a short shelf life, a short life cycle. Everything in this world that you have ever done that has backfired has been because you were pushed into something that has a short life cycle, but not God. God said, I'll live forever. God can wait for the precious fruit of the earth because he knows he's not going anywhere and earth has to end up with him. God can wait for you to fall in love with him. He can wait for you to grow up. He can wait for you to finish school. He can wait for you to build your kingdom. He can wait for you to establish yourself. Why? He's not going anywhere. First of all, he's God. He fills all in all. He can't go anywhere. Wherever you are, he's there. Wherever you're going, he's already there. So he's either in the beginning getting you there or he's at the end waiting for you to arrive. So God's never in a hurry. He's never in a hurry, which is why it takes a long time, because the Bible says, surely what the Lord does, it will stand forever. God does forever work, and the world does temporal work, because it's always on a time crunch. Only have a little bit of time. You got to hurry up and get your gifts. You got to make your children hurry up and grow. You have to make the kids hurry up and have sex. You have to make the kids hurry up and do drugs. You have to make the kids hurry up and be grown. Your little girls can't be little girls because they got to hurry up and look like little women. And see, why? Because everything's a short shelf life. Everything's a short life cycle. And you have to recognize that when you deal with God and you deal with what you want to work, you have to pursue what survives short life cycles, what survives crazes and mania. You know, you look at what we've done to this generation, what you can honestly say where the problem is, where the lack of wisdom is, because everything is about the here, the now. We have to push our kids into growing up. We have to push our families into getting out the house. We have to push.
Okay, we're experiencing a technical difficulty for just one moment. We'll be right back with Dr. Price.
And right now, your best interests are too important to you. But see, God, you don't understand. I need to have my so-and-so, God, my Cardinals due. Lord, I mean, I need that. God's like, and? But he said, seek ye first the and then. Well, so we're not getting all these things because we're not seeking the righteousness of God. And if we have a righteousness, it's not the righteousness of the kingdom of God, but it's our own righteousness. Paul said we ought to not be found having our own righteousness. That's the worst way for God to find you, is in your own righteousness. See, did anybody get that? See, I want, hey, God is setting some people free today. See, he said, you are not to be found in God, it clothed in your own righteousness. Because all of your righteousness is as filthy rags. It's like your old outdated clothes. He said, but you need to put on the robe of righteousness. See, there is a way.
And we are back with the one and only Dr. Price. Dr. Price, are you there? Can you hear me?
I'm here. I was on a roll, Ashley. You know I was hitting it really good. You know? But anyway, I want to, you know me, I keep going. I want to finish my thought. God says pursue wisdom. It says buy wisdom. Sell everything you have for wisdom. Why would he say something as drastic as sell everything you have for wisdom? Because if you have wisdom, you can get it back. You can recoup and regain it without any loss and more besides. Wisdom is a multiplier. And so God wants to talk about that. And some of you this week, you know, because, again, get that hasty spirit out. Get that thing out of your mind. Stop and say, now, wait a minute. If I don't make this decision today, what will I know tomorrow to help me make a better one? If I don't make this decision this week, what will I learn next week to help me make a better one? Because wisdom always wants to be right. You have to understand, arrogance thinks it's right, but wisdom has to be right. So one will check themselves out, and the other one will push themselves forward. So you want to make sure that you don't get caught up in that. Don't get caught up in relationships just because somebody says that you shouldn't be home and being happy at being home. Don't get caught up in that. Don't get caught up with hanging out with people just because somebody said you should dislike being alone. Make sure that whatever your decisions are, you have weighed them carefully. And you've made decisions based on careful judgments. Sound judgments, not emotional stress or peer pressure. You know, it's unfortunate that you go all your life fighting peer pressure, become an adult, and guess what else you have to fight? Peer pressure. So what was the point? God wants you to recognize he wins because he can wait. He wins because the plan he lays out is not to lose. He wins because he's not in a hurry. He wins because he lets everything in a hurry burn itself out, run out of steam, and then he moves. There's some great strategy to that. What if we as Christians wrapped our head about that? You know, I can wait for this job. I'll take those 5 interviews and hone my skills and get better at it and critique myself and to discover what I can do more efficiently or how I can be more effective or persuasive in an interview. Yeah, I can wait. I can look at 10 more houses. I don't have to sign this one because it makes me feel good. Because feeling good is not going to last long enough for you to say, but the deal was good. And a lot of times, you stop feeling good before the deal is done or right after the deal is over, and then you're in remorse. God says we live in a lot of remorse because we're in a hurry to feel good, to feel right, to feel like we fit in, to feel like we're one of the crowd, to feel why the world pushes you because it has its benefits have short shelf life and its customs have short life cycles. That's why we call them trends, because they keep trending in and trending out. Nobody expects things to last forever, but let somebody tell you the moon is gone tomorrow. All of a sudden, you're upset about something not lasting forever. Let's talk about the sun. Well, we just realized the sun is going to be dead in 3 days. All of a sudden, you start demanding the sun to do what you know it to do, last forever, provide for you forever. So there's a new way of thinking that's coming down from the Holy Ghost. God is challenging us today to be wise and prudent, to understand wisdom. The people who are going to move in God are going to move in God because they have taken on his mind. We want to talk about the mind of Christ, and we're in a hurry to make everything happen. We're going to talk about the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. Oh, but I did this. Why? It just made me feel right. Are you kidding? If Jesus just did what he felt, he would have never taken flesh. Because I'm sure, according to what he said in Gethsemane, he did not want to go to hell. I'm sure he did not want to be beaten and bloody, but he did what would achieve, yield him the results that he wanted more than he wanted to feel good. And he delayed the good feeling for the conquest, for the victory, for the achievement, for the attainment. As a matter of fact, he said it before, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Because what? He looked on the other side of that. And he said, but you know what? if I can just ride this out, I'm going to get what I want the way I want it, and it's going to make me look good, it's going to make me feel good, and it's going to make me do better. And that's what God wants you to think. Whatever you're contemplating today, yourself, if I don't close that deal today, what's the worst that can happen? Now, if it's a deal where you know, okay, we're going to get put out of our house, then that's a whole other thing. That means you've waited too long and you delayed wisdom way too long down the line. But if you don't have a hurry-up kind of deal, then ask yourself, do I have to? The person you're about to propose to right now, ask yourself, do I want to join my world to this world? Because marriage is not between two people. Marriage is between two worlds. Ask yourself, am I asking this person to be my spouse because I've enjoyed the dating thing, I've enjoyed the mating thing, I've enjoyed conversation? All of that is what you do, and that's temporary. Marriage is not a temporary experience. Marriage is saying, I want to do this every day, all day, forever, amen, or as long as we both live. Ask yourself, if you don't buy that house today, if you don't purchase that car today, what could you find out that would confirm you're making a good decision? Ask yourself those hard questions and command your flesh to wait. You tell your emotions, you tell your appetites and your desires that you're in control of them. They are no longer going to be the reigning king, the reigning priest in your life. You're going to be in control. I want to make sure, is this a good deal? I want to make sure, should I go to this school or should I not? I want to make sure if this program is aligning with what I know God says. And also, what if I find out that this program is going to be canceled in 2 years? Shouldn't I know that? Believe me, the people who are canceling it know. The people who are going to lay you off, they know. They know 2 years before you are laid off that this is happening, that things are turning that direction. What if you had the wisdom of advanced knowledge yourself? That's the advantage of prophecy and the prophetic. You get to tap into the advanced knowledge of God to make a present decision that secures your future. That's why God has it. God's like, okay, well, if you want to feel your way, that's fine. You want to grope in the dark, that's fine. He's going to let you do it, but he's going to let you live with it. A lot of the things that we are angry with God about, we didn't want to wait for him to give us all of the intel. We wanted it now. We didn't care. I don't care what you say. I remember counseling a prophet one day, and I think this is the scariest statement a prophet can ever say. I remember counseling a prophet one day, and the prophet said to me, well, I'm sorry, but I just have to, I'm sorry, I know that's probably right, and you're probably right, but I'm sorry. I have to live things to learn them. Oh, God bless you for wanting to do that. That's a long, tedious life. I have to live it. So I have to live every calamity. I have to live every tragedy, every mistake, every mishap, so that I can, in the midst of it all, get a couple of quality experiences, a couple of good harvests, a couple of good outcomes. Come on. Who does that? I think about it when I talk to so many saints, and they say, listen, don't tell me any bad news. Are you kidding? You turn up, CNN is based on bad news. Headline news, based on bad news. MSNBC, bad news. You have to almost beg the networks to give you a trivia, and they're only going to give you a crumb of good news. So you live in bad news every day. But you also rely on it. You want that newscaster to tell you that there's going to be a storm. You need that early morning news reporter to say that there's a traffic pileup somewhere. And what does this do? What does that advanced knowledge give you? The opportunity to plan alternatives or to otherwise protect yourself. But again, that's wisdom in action. And many times people miss wisdom in action. Even if we like reading the wisdom of God's word, we love Solomon, we romance him, he wrote 3,000-plus Proverbs. My God, the Lord gave him just the greatest wisdom. But you know what? We're not really prepared to live Solomon's practice of that wisdom. That's that waiting, studying, that's learning, that's testing, retesting, that's troubleshooting and anticipating all of the things that increase your odds of success. Wisdom brings you. Wisdom brings you the power to improve your lot in life by increasing your odds of succeeding in its most promising ventures. That is what God wants for you. and he wants you to stop spreading his wisdom in favor of emotional satisfaction, because that's really what it is, emotional satisfaction. We're in favor of emotional and physical gratification, because then you want him to come and dig you out, you want him to come to get you out, and all of those things could have been avoided. And he wants you to avoid the pitfalls. And he wants you to recognize that if you are my minister, I need you to make a decision as to whether or not you're going to be on my, be a part of my testimony or a part of my witness. And they're not all the same. Because, see, people can testify to what they've heard, but they can witness what they've seen and experienced. He wants you all in his mind. He wants you all in his soul. He wants you all in his history. He wants you all in his destiny. God wants you all wrapped up in him. He is not bothered by your question. He's not bothered by your concerns. He's not even bothered by your prudence. God wants you to get all up in him so that you'll understand how he discovered what succeeds and what fails. That is what I wanted to share with you today, that you have to make a decision every day. Stop selling your kids to somebody else's impression of life. Make a decision. If you feel like you want your child to be sexually active at 12, make that your decision, not some blind, hasty culture. Make it your decision. Oh, well, I think you should know. You want your youngster to be able to drink at 9? That should be a prudent decision. You've explored all the options, and you've made a decision for it. You want your kid to be in a certain school, you want your marriage to be patterned after this or that, then let it be decision of wisdom. Remember, I'll end on this statement, wisdom is justified of all of her children. So when you are a child of wisdom, it takes a little while. You are justified. You realize you can get pregnant, and nobody knows you have a child or what kind of child you are going to have until you've delivered it and it starts manifesting as a person in this world. So God wants me to share that with you. I hope it was a blessing to you all, because I know that's what he's been talking to me about. And I've been writing all week long, and God has been, I mean, unleashing this unbelievable wisdom to me. He said, I want to share this with my kids, but they don't have time. Because remember, wisdom takes time. All right? And acquisition, acquiring, you can just do in an instant. So we are going to have to, it's not enough to just say, I want to take time to visit, I have to take time to read my Bible. No, all of that is to the end that you would tap into God's wisdom and be a better witness of his superiority over the ways of this world. So, well, Ashley, there you go. Hallelujah. Even though I got cut off, I still got it out.
Oh, yes. And we thank you for having a solid train of thinking.
See, they don't know why you say that, but I do know. That's one of those inside jokes.
You know, it's kind of easy to get off point sometimes. But this is really rich, this whole piece on wisdom. And, you know, it's so sad that so many people think about Christianity as a list of don'ts, things you cannot do, and never really capitalizing off of all the things you can do and are empowered to do that maybe even before you knew you should do, did not have the strength to make it happen. When you were talking about the platform of wisdom is patience, that went up on my Facebook. I said, yes, okay, that's good. That patience is that first sign of when you're impatient to do something, you are headed down the road. One thing we have noticed, Dr. Price, and I know we can both chuckle about this, and I'm sure leaders everywhere can, is our people had hunted us down for every jot and tittle word from God. But when it was a decision that they should not make but wanted to make, we never heard anything about it. Did not want wisdom. No. Did not want counsel. I wanted this car. I had to have this car. You just show up with a new car. Now, your job is unstable. You're trying to keep a house. And you're showing up just out of nowhere. Or we moved. One spouse saw it, signed the papers, went home, told the rest of the family, we're moving. What? And then trial after trial. So then you're in the prayer line every week for God to rescue you instead of taking those preventative measures because you just wanted something to happen so badly that wisdom was just thrown out the window. And I think that's such a tremendous thing to say to people as a red flag that when you are just driven to make a decision, just driven to make something happen, driven to do it, and you, I would say, just ignore all of your usual protocols, procedures for safety and caution and wisdom, you are probably walking right into a trial or signing on one, because that's usually what you have to do is sign your name to something that will eventually hurt you. When you say command your flesh to wait, that's powerful.
And it is powerful, too, how we do, you know, we have all of these things for the things that we should have. Well, you know, I should do this. But it is also very true that when you are in a hurry to do something and then you are chided or you are mocked for wanting to take your time or to get more information or to check it out further, you need to know there is a trap in that blessing. That's one of those, you know, candy-covered traps. You don't even know it. I like when you talk about our folks, because God knows, when they stand in the prayer line, I'm trying to keep my car, and I'm saying, I didn't know you had a car. When did you get a car? I thought that was your friend's car. Oh, you signed for that? Or, I'm trying to find a new job because the job I had. But I thought, okay. And so the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, Ashley, this word is hot to God today, because he says, I am tired of being accused of being a bad father, being a poor father. I am tired of being accused of giving evil gifts to my good children when that's against my character. I am tired of being blamed for marital decisions, for job decisions, for career choices, even for friends and relationships that I myself would never have chosen when I was on the planet. And yet I'm being blamed for them. He said, that's not me. And I think God is speaking in the hours that we're heading up to the future. The one thing that God is saying as we're talking about wisdom is that I am going to detox y'all from this hyper thing y'all been doing. This God said his church has been intoxicated with irrationality. And God is getting ready to detox us and put us in a sobriety program where he is sobering us up. That's why do you think you're losing the houses, losing the cars, losing your job, health won't act right, losing your money, lost your retirement? Why? This is the King of Kings sobriety program. And every time when we start getting too intoxicated with things they can't deliver, they can't support, they can't sustain, and God won't replace, we are going into the sobriety program. Everybody who's listening to me today, I want to say to you, as we move on to the rest of our show, when you write this down, my life is in the Holy Ghost sobriety program. He has put you in Rational Anonymous because you have become irrational in the way he wants you to live your life, and you're too valuable for him. What he has on the books for you, it may be coming down the pipe, and he needs you to be sober-minded in order to do this thing, because you will multiply your errors and multiply your mistakes. Now, I realize that that's probably a very stern word, Ashley. I'm sure some of our listeners are going to say, wow, that was really harsh. But I'm telling you, God says what I have for you in this dispensation requires sober-mindedness and not hyper-intoxicity. So we're getting ready to be detoxed by the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, the deaths, the trials, the tribulations, they're all detoxes. He's detoxing us from the ways of men, the ways of this world, the lust of our flesh, the lust of our eyes, and the pride of life, which is in a detox program. And we are now getting ready to go into Rational Anonymous, where God's going to sober us up so that we secure the next blessing, the next wave of dispensation, the next wave of blessings he's going to pour out. He wants you to do it with a sober mind. Because if you're sober-minded, then you're vigilant, then you're diligent, then you're cautious, and then he knows that you are secure. Hallelujah. Ashley, was that good or what?
Yeah, that was good. And then combined with the whole marriage piece about you don't just marry a person, you marry their whole world. And how many people have you encountered along the road, along the way, who just had to have that person? And whenever they yoked up with their whole life, they realized they had made a mistake.
Oh, my. Well, that is why God keeps going against these hasty marriages. You know, I mean, we may not all be flying to Las Vegas, but a lot of people have a Las Vegas marriage. Okay, met today, made it tonight, married tomorrow. Okay, come on, help me out now. Do you really want to be a part of that whole, do you know the world you're marrying? You know, are you going to like your in-laws? Are they going to like you? Do your in-laws, I mean, you know what the person feels, but does the family go along with how that person feels about Christ, about your life, about pursuing destiny, holding down a job, saving money, recreation? There's a whole lot of things that we don't think about. You know, I always think about with marriage, Ashley, and I teach this in our marriage classes, and you know I do, I have in the past. But, you know, we always talk about it, but when I look in the Bible, the marriages God made, the people were already secure. The marriages made, they were not. You know, I mean, sexually-based marriages, everybody's insecure because everybody's about a feeling. Destiny-based marriages, everybody's secure. Isaac got a whole kingdom, then he went and got a wife. Why? He brought his wife into something, and it wasn't a calamity. You know, when you think about Ruth, she had already proven herself, had already entered into the family that was going to secure her. She already had a destiny. She passed up all those young men to get the guy that can secure her life. So scripture has a very different take on long-term relationships and on covenants and on marriage that we really need to get back to. Because as far as I'm concerned, and I say this again with the sensitivity of the Holy Ghost, because this is we're in difficult times, but I say this again. We have got to stop wanting to please everybody but God with our decisions. Because when our decisions fail, nobody can get us out of it but God. And if his feelings are hurt, he's not going to act like he even knows we had a problem. You know, he's not even going to be like, oh, well, you know, let me know how it works out. Now, he won't say that. He just won't say. He just won't say, he won't act, he won't respond. But if you were looking beyond the veil of this world, you'd see him sitting on the throne, and you'd see his your angels and your spiritual resources standing before him petitioning and him not giving them the nod. No, don't. Mm-mm. Shaking his head. No. Why? Because God's like, seek me. And I think that whatever's happening in the today, maybe this is about something that's coming down on the planet, something coming down on our country or the church. But God is like, I am not going to chase you around like a parent with toddlers. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to, you made the mess, I'm going to let you clean it up. Now, I'll give you a little insight. I'm going to give you some special grace. Don't worry about it. I'm going to give you some grace. You know, but you're going to clean it up. And a lot of us are angry with God because we made the mess, but we want him to clean it up. He's like, I'm not doing that because I wouldn't have done those things. And if you had asked me, I told you I wouldn't have done it, and I would have told you why I wouldn't have done it. So this is big people stuff now. We have to put on the big people clothes. We got to sit at the grown-up table at the holidays now. We no longer get to sit with the kids, and we're going to have to be sober-minded. Let's explore how we got here. And not in a critical way, not in a put-down way, because, come on, who are we kidding? If you don't know, you don't know. When you find out, you do better. But most of the church, we can't even heal our issues because we're too busy hiding them, criticisms that people give us or even that we imagine. But when your mistake can become a witness for Christ, then you've matured, and that's what I pray for. So, Ashley, now that I've thrown all that out there, you know, because I am in a role, on a roll, and it is Thursday, where is our prophet in the field? I'm sure she's got some products. She's got some connections and some great information for us. Is she on the line?
You know she is.
I am on the line, Dr. Price. I do. I have announcements, but I've been flipping back and forth because I'm trying desperately to grab these powerful quotes. I mean, the show is on fire today. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom is all I can say. Thank you for the wisdom. I'm sure I speak for everybody. Thank you. Thank you for the wisdom.
I am glad to bring it. Now, what are you going to do that's going to back that up, girl? Now, I love putting you on the spot today. You know that, right?
Oh, boy. All right. Well, first, let me tell you guys how to connect with Dr. Price after the show. We want to make sure that you have all the information. And then I'm going to talk about a special product deal that's just for our listeners today. So first and foremost, we want you to make sure you visit us at drpaulaprice.com. Everything Dr. Paula Price is on our site, drpaulaprice.com. You can shop for products. You can take an assessment and link to our company website. You can book Dr. Price for a future event. You can find out how you can attend an event that we're hosting here in Tulsa. Everything that you need on drpaulaprice.com. If you're not already on our mailing list, then we want to make sure that you go online, drpaulaprice.com, and click Add Me so that you can join our mailing list and be privy to all of our deals, all of our announcements. You're going to get those first and foremost. So make sure you join our e-newsletter list so that you stay in the know. If you are on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, then make sure that you connect with Dr. Price. If you're a Facebook user, Dr. Price is under Apostle Paula Price and or Dr. Paula Price, and under Dr. Paula Price on Twitter and LinkedIn. So make sure that you connect with us online because we want to hear from you. We want to hear your stories. We want to hear what God's doing in your life. And most importantly, we want to hear how this show is impacting you. So after the show today, make sure you go to Facebook.com or Twitter.com, and let us know how this show is changing your life because we want to hear from you. When you tell us your story and give us your feedback, you receive a free gift from us and from the ministry. So we want to bless you. So go online and tell us what you think. Amen? All right, just for our Polypress listeners, I want to let you guys know about a few things that are coming up. Tulsa Prophetic Forum is buy one, get one right now. It's going to be over on the 25th of March. That is a Tuesday. I want you to remember that date. Tuesday, March 25th is the last day to get in under the buy one, get one deal. You do not want to miss the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. Those dates are the 19th through the 21st of June this year. It's going to be powerful, so do not miss this. Prophets, do not miss this. You want to be in attendance. This is not a conference. This is an education module. You will be trained like never before. You're going to leave empowered, but more than that, you're going to leave equipped. So make sure that you come out and see us June 19th through the 21st. The BOGO deal ends March 25th, so get those, get your friends. Get your classmates, your prophetic student, and make sure you register together to get the very best deal to come out and see us. The classes that Dr. Price and Prophet Ashley were talking about earlier, you can actually register for both of those classes if you log on to drpaulaprice.com. The commission team class and the Jesus class are both available there, and you can click register and get yourself signed up for those classes. For our audience today, I want to tell you, Dr. Price has been talking about wisdom. There is a teaching, two of them, that Dr. Price did on the soul of success. They're called the Mysteries of Success 1 and 2, and she talks about wisdom is that soul of success. So listen, we want you to make sure you go online, drpaulaprice.com, and click Shop for Products and download your copy of Mysteries of Success 1 and 2. You will be blessed, and it's going to add to this conversation about wisdom, so make sure you do that. Last but certainly not least, I have a special for you guys today. This is just for our listeners. So it's up to you if you want to share, but it's just for our listeners. We have a new book online right now. It's just released. It's called The Secret to Powerful Prayers, Invoking God's Kingdom When We Pray. A powerful new ebook from Dr. Price, never before been released. Right now for our listeners, if you download this from now, the sale is from now until tomorrow at midnight, you can get 10% off that ebook. But you must use the promo code WISDOM. W-I-S-D-O-M, WISDOM. You must use the promo code WISDOM. So go to drpaulaprice.com and click Shop for Products. When you get to our product store, look up Secret to Powerful Prayers and be blessed. We want to bless you. So remember, visit us online, drpaulaprice.com. Get everything you need for all of your training needs, and we'll see you online.
Woo! I tell you what, I'm going to go to my own website. Let me just go to Dr. Paulaprice. You know, actually, as a matter of fact, I was stunned. I went to my website after you all have been renovating it and renovating. I went there, what, last week? I thought, wow, this is really good. I was looking at all of the trainings, all of the tools, and how easy it is to navigate it. And I was excited. I had to go and text Prophetess Dean and say, hey, wonderful job, because people don't know we do our own work in-house because, well, it's economical and it's wise to do so. Isn't that, I said, now we're talking wisdom. But I was thinking about that download. Hey, Ashley, that download that she got, that she talked about, wouldn't it be great after we finish today and tomorrow when she brings that back maybe next week or so and pair it with the other consecration book we had?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm sure Prophet Adia is the master of packaging.
No. She, you know, it's good to see marketplace prophetics doing marketplace place things. You know, I'm hot on that. You know, we work in a marketplace. Place don't do anything marketplace-like. Nothing marketed, nothing placed, you know, nothing. Hallelujah. But now we've had a great first hour. It's been wonderful. We'll have a few messages. So, Ashley, do I have calls or what?
You do have calls. Excuse me. I want to take this opportunity to tell our listeners there are a few more slots open. If you have a prayer request for Dr. Price and you are on the line, you can just hit 1. I don't think you have to redial in. You can just press 1 if you want to get in the prayer line. Sometimes, Dr. Price, it randomly happens like that there are a few slots open for you to touch a few more lights. Oh, and there's somebody just hit it. See? I see it fills up. Somebody hit number 1. So after we come back from our break, I'm going to get you next. So hit that number. Whoop, there's somebody else. Well, okay, I have job security, that's for sure, today, Dr. Price. But I also want to take – go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but you know, when we do this week after week, I think sometimes people have, like, waited so long, they think, wow. But let me just tell you, always call, and if you call early, you get me first. I love talking to you all, and you make the Paula Price Show what it is. Which is sassy and edgy and wise.
Absolutely. And guess what, Dr. Price?
Yes.
On this day, 1 year ago, we had our first episode on Blog Talk Radio as the Paula Price Show. We transitioned from the Hour of Prayer Power and we rolled over into Blog Talk Radio. So congratulations on your 1 year anniversary on Blog Talk Radio. And thank you to our listeners, our supporters, because without you, who would we talk to?
But they are what makes it happen because, you know, Ashley, a lot of people have forgotten. This started out with me wanting to reach out to them, to pray for people. And that's why I don't let a call come in without prayer, without ending it, whatever counsel we give. I want to pray for God's people. Because I know that God has given me a unique response from heaven in prayer. That's why I could write the book that Adia just talked about and the consecration book that we had, and we have trainings for it because prayer is the transaction that makes things happen for you on earth. It's a transaction. So I'm excited. But guess what else? I'm excited that I have a year. So I'm going to ask all of my faithful listeners just Facebook me and let me know how I've touched your life over this year. If I've prayed for you, if I've spoken to you, if you've gotten it by osmosis, okay? But Facebook me or tweet me and say, you know what, Dr. Price, this is your anniversary. I want to let you know what this year has done for me. I need to hear it. I'm here for you every week, but every now and then, your encouragement really is a shot in the arm to me. So I'm asking that you would give me some encouragement on my first year anniversary on Blog Talk Radio. I think that that's going to be awesome. All right, so Ashley, it's on you.
All right, we'll be back after these messages.
We have a praise report. Returning to the Paula Price Show is Nikai from Bermuda. Dr. Price, she, and I'm sure her sons are in the close background, has a praise report for you about what you prayed for when she last called in. So, Nikai, all the way from Bermuda, welcome back to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Price.
Good morning,
Dr. Good morning. It's good to hear you guys again.
Yes, we are here and listening, and just want to say thank you very much, Dr. Price. We appreciate you and what God is doing through you. And your obedience to God is like, you know, you've become our role model on how to obey the Lord. And we receive your words of wisdom and your loving rod of correction, as always, and we apply it to our lives. So, we have round one, we have won. The prosecution dropped the charges.
Hallelujah! You know God!
Hallelujah! So now I understand that it's not just the getting, but it's also the keeping.
That is powerful. And
the comeback plan and the retrieving all. So I'm calling this round one because we still have a few more rounds to work out, and we are determined. I feel like if God could do that, He really and truly, I mean, I already know He can do anything, but when you are the one in it, and then you witness Him do the impossible according to man's standard, it's exciting, it's mind-blowing, just what you said.
Returning to us, Dr. Price, is Kimberly from Oregon.
No kidding!
Good morning, Dr. Price. Oh, my God. Hello.
A blast from the very past.
You know I'm always online here. I'm always online somewhere. You know I'm connected, but I said it was time to give a voice to the connection. It had been too long.
It really has been. So talk to me. What's been up with you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have, I'm really excited because on the great side, I've got my website is getting prepared to be launched. I've got a blog that I'm getting ready. God is really doing some things over there. But I have to tell you, Dr. Price, and I think you know, last year was full of a lot of trials for Kimberly. And I have to tell you, this brief moment in time where I was able to so see God show up, and I am so thankful, and I just covet the prayers that I know you and the team have prayed over my family and continue to pray.
Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price, host of the Paula Price Show, reminding you to revisit last week's program at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.
Okay, and we are back with our second hour of the Paula Price Show, www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, where you will get this wisdom live every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Wanted to give you a few testimonies on our anniversary week here of just how powerful and impacting this show is, and a shout-out to some of our people and our loyal followers. Dr. Price, back to you.
Well, I am ready. First of all, I appreciate the testimonies. And, you know, I'm still stunned that it's been a year. I've had a great time doing this. I'm asking God to continue to bless it and to prosper it. I want to ask each and every one of you, also pass it on to your friends. Pass the link on, not just the testimony. Pass the link on so that other people can tap into this thing that God is doing for us. God wants to sit with you. That's why we have the Paula Price Show. He wants to sit with you. He wants to hear you, and he wants to answer you firsthand. So with that in mind, I'd like to have my first call.
And I'd like to give you one. First in line today, Dr. Price, is Leanne from Tennessee, and she is calling because she needs a job full-time. Leanne, welcome to the Paula Price Show. You are live with Dr. Price.
Good morning, Dr. Price.
Good morning, Leanne. Thank you for calling in today. How are things in Tennessee?
Oh, things are good. We got good weather out here, too.
Well, then that's good. We're sharing it because, you know, we're looking at almost, we're coming up on 60 degrees here, so, you know, I'm ecstatic.
Yes.
So how is the family doing?
Our family is doing great. I'm just meeting a full-time LPN God job that God would have for me to have.
Well, then I want to pray for that because this is it. Now, do you do private duty? Or are you talking about working in a facility, or what are you thinking you're doing? What do you want to do?
Right now I'm doing private duty, but I would like to, that's part-time, for lack of hours right now, but like to get a full-time job working in a facility.
Oh, that would be great. Wouldn't it be good for you? You know,
yes.
You'd even be doing, being the school nurse. You know, you'd do well in something like that. I just hear God saying expand your horizons.
Okay.
And not be so narrow in your search. That's what I hear God saying to you because he's with you. Now, you've come through a little bit of a hiccup, God said, a couple of bumps in a row, and they've made you think that he's not doing it, but God said he did that because he's setting some things up for you.
Okay.
That's gonna change your life forever, for the better.
Okay.
For good, you know. So God said, just be open to some new ideas because sometimes, you know, we get our degrees, we get our experience, we get our career set, and we just look at, you know, the changes. Or even just, you know, alternatives one way. But I hear God saying to you, you really have more options than you have taken seriously. Now, I see you sitting down at your table. I want to say it almost wants to look like a kitchen table, but it's not, and it's kind of wooden. And you're sitting there, and I see you turning over some pages with your head resting on your hand. And I just see God saying, I want her to see this. Look at this. So whatever it is, whatever the stack of possibilities is, or maybe it's a perspective, whatever that is, go back through it
okay. With
a fresh eye. I hear God saying with a fresh eye because where you are is not the only place he has for you. It may be comfortable, and, of course, we want you to eat, so you need to do what you need to do, you know, to meet your needs. But be open for a bigger vision.
Okay. All right.
And more challenging, because you know how you don't particularly like challenging, but be open. You know, you don't like that. But be open. You like that tried and true life. I've worked this out. The kinks are out. I mean, you're that person, when you get a new supervisor, you're out. I'm mad. I'm frustrated. I done broken the other supervisor. Now this one is here. So, no, but God wants you to just see things with a bigger picture. You just
okay. Keep
tapping into that picture. I love it. Yeah. I think you tap into that. I know. That's what, you know, he does that to let you know I'm your dad. That's why he does it.
Okay.
He does it to let you know I am your father. I care about you, but I know you as a father knows you, and you're important to me. But I know what I'm working on to get you ready. So be willing to open up to some bigger ideas and some different directions or different paths to come at what you're going after. The reason that God is standing in your way, and I don't mean literally, I'm saying you're feeling delayed, is because God wants you to think differently about some opportunities he's sending your way.
All right. Okay. All right.
And he's tell you, do not tell me, Lord, that's hard. I've been, Lord, I'm looking for things that just be simple and straightforward because that's not going to happen.
Okay.
Okay. Hallelujah. Let me pray with you.
Okay.
Glory to God, I thank you for Leanne. Lord, she is one precious, precious woman. God, I thank you for her. I thank you for her growth. But God, mostly I thank you for her love for you. She has a great time with you, Lord, and I pray for your relationship with her, that it continues to mushroom and to grow, Lord, because she does have that childlike faith about you, and she does love you that way. So I'm asking that you begin to make yourself even more pronounced in her life. And as you do so, God, give her an ear to hear how you will be leading and guiding her footsteps in the future. Now, we ask, God, that every obstacle that she's had is removed out of her way, that you remove every obstacle within her and around her, God, so that she can hear you in the way that she's not heard you previously and that she can follow your footsteps. God, I thank you that you're also going to touch that writing anointing on her life and give her confidence in her writing so that she'll take seriously the fact that you're speaking to her and that it's not her imagination. So I'm asking you to bless her in that area too, Father, as you bless her with the job. God, we speak to the employment and personnel powers and agencies you have in her region. And God, we send forth your hand and extend it into the files to pull out the job that you have for her. Cause it to be set up in a way that, God, she can't miss, and let her connect with it as soon as her feet touch the ground, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. God bless you.
God bless you all. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Prophet?
Yes, yes, yes.
I appreciate that. Isn't she a wonderful lady? You know,
she is.
They're comical. They're just bubbly. I mean, you know, it's really good to know that we have all kinds, but that we get to enjoy the Lord in that way. I think it's awesome. Okay, who's next? Who else do I have on the line?
Next on the line is Mary from Florida here, and she is calling because she wants to know what is the next step for her mom. She had reached out to us several months ago, she said. Her mom has had a massive heart attack in 2012, and the doctor, she has not recovered well, and the doctor is recommending hospice for Mary to do with her mom, and so she's calling to get some wisdom on what she should do next. Mary, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello. Hey, Dr. Price.
Hi, Mary. I'm so sorry to hear our second call is on this subject. How are you doing?
I'm okay. It's very challenging. You know me by Mar Yvonne. You know me by Mar Yvonne McCleary.
I remember Mar Yvonne. So are you kidding me? Your name was Mary all along?
Well, some call me Mar Yvonne and some call me Mary Yvonne.
I remember you, Mar Yvonne. I haven't seen you for a while, so let's catch up.
Yes. As you know, my mom had a massive heart attack in 2012, and she hasn't fully recovered from it. I think when we last spoke, we were trying to get the whole family involved in helping to take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
What we had decided to do as a family, because we did put her in a rehab and she wasn't being properly cared for there, so we had decided as a family to bring her home and let her be cared for at home. So when we did bring her home, she was recovering okay, but she has been back and forth in the hospital every month because of an infection that's in her body. And she was just in the hospital twice in the month of February. And so last week I had a meeting with the doctor, and the doctor said to me that she has concerns with my mom going back and forth in the hospital, that what's happening to her body is on the decline, and that she suggests that I put my mom in hospice. Now, this is not the first time that I've heard it from a doctor to put my mom in hospice, but like you know, that I have a very large family, so we're divided on the decision on what we should do. And so I'm calling because I want to know, like, what's her next step. If it's hospice, you know, I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with her leaving. My mom did express to me, I'm the one that has power of attorney over her. She did express to me before she got ill that when it was her time to go, she wanted to go. She did not want us to be here taking care of her. So I wanted to honor her wishes, but the family is divided, like, on what to do with her. And so, like, the message that she spoke today, it was just so on time, because I do need the wisdom of God on what to do, you know, in the situation. It's not an easy one, but I'm at peace, you know, whatever is best for her.
Well, and if it's best for her, then I think you already have your decision. What you really are calling for is peace in the family.
Yes, yes.
You've already resolved that you're going to honor her wishes and that you're going to release your mother in dignity.
Yes.
So that's not what your prayer request is. You want to know, and I will pray toward the end, that God will give your family peace with it. But understand that even in the midst of that, grief affects people different ways.
Okay.
Okay, sometimes grief hits people because of guilt. Other ones, it hits other people because of regrets and remorse over things that they wish they could have shunned. Other people feel like, you know, they just don't want that void in their life. So you're going to, your mother chose you to have power of attorney for a reason, because she knew you could you can navigate all of this emotion. So it's not going to be a cakewalk. I can stand here and say, okay, well, I bind this and I bind that. And, you know, I got all of that already. But truth be told, even if when it works, it's only going to be like a Band-Aid. Ultimately, the reason that it shows up when it's human and not demonic is because people have to walk through a journey. So this is going to be a journey for you. The first thing I would say to you that if my mom asked me to release her indignity, I would do it.
Okay.
I think that holding people here by artificial means simply because it makes us feel good or we feel like we're fulfilling a sense of duty, to me, it's a discredit to their entire life of dignity. People have lived their lives, whatever. So you need to go ahead on and make that decision. If in hospice God wants to turn her around, he can do it. But this is a two-year journey we've been on. If he wants to turn around, what I'm going to pray is I want to pray for your peace because you need rest. This has been hard on you. You're not resting well. You're not sleeping well. Your spirit is tired. Your stomach is a little bit fidgety. So I'm going to pray for you, okay? And then we're going to pray for the family.
Okay.
But you recognize that in every decision, somebody's got to be the heavy. And when you are the heavy, sometimes you have to take the weight. You have to bear the brunt. Buck up and do that and continue to pray for God to touch it. Now, I want to bind up all of this emotional stuff to the best of God's authority in me, but ultimately, you know grief is going to do what grief does. Okay. Are you peace with that answer?
Yes.
Okay.
What you just said just took a whole load off of me.
Good, because it's hard. This is a hard thing. It's a hard decision, and it's a hard journey. If you have family and you have siblings and all a whole bunch, a whole list of history things that are said and not said, known and unknown, it just only makes it worse. So I'm going to pray. Father, thank you. First of all, I thank you for this mom, for the rich life that she's had and the rich deposit, Holy One, that she has made in the earth, in the form of her children. So God, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for her healing, if it is your will, whether it's this side or your side. But most importantly, God, I ask that this great woman is allowed to leave this world in dignity and in peace. Let there be no sorrow. Let her family come out of themselves and just for a moment, God, get into her experience. Lord, right now I'm asking that you would convict each and every one of them for ignoring their mother's experience in her last days, and Lord, for convict them for their selfishness that to the point that they don't even realize how hard it is for this woman to know that she's not only leaving this world, but she's leaving her family. God, I'm asking for you to convict and visit each and every one of these family members. Visit them personally, God, and take them out of themselves and give them that moment to see beyond their feelings and beyond their emotions and even their pain and fear to understand that this lady deserves better than this. God, I thank you that you would cause them to give her better than this after all that she's put in their lives. Then I'm asking, Lord, that you would be the comforter, the consoler, the consoler of this situation. No matter how it turns out, Lord, there is pain involved and grief is inevitable. But, Lord, you can be our comforter. So I'm asking that you would be this family's consolation and companion through this difficult time. And then, Lord, I'm asking you to cause Mary to rest. Rest in your arms, rest in your peace, to rest in your heart and your good favor and approval. Lord, I'm asking that you would do this because you are the Almighty. This woman, their mom served you. She deserves better than this. And if I would send a word out over the spirit, and if I would send a word out in the atmosphere, that is the word I would dispatch to her family right now. She deserves better than this. And so, God, I'm asking that they would pull themselves together and that they would stop making it about them and help this woman enter your glory at the appropriate time and in peace and at rest and fully contented. And I bless you for doing it, Father, in Jesus' omnipotent name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Again, please accept my condolences on how difficult this is for you, but know doing the right thing.
Yes. You know? Dr. Price, thank you. So you just lifted a load off of me. Your word of wisdom just lifted a load off of me. So thank you so, so, so much.
You're welcome. Keep me posted, beloved, because I do care.
Okay, I will. Thank you all again.
Okay, you're welcome. God bless.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Whew. These difficult
wow.
things, huh, Ashley?
Yeah, very, very.
Very difficult. I just pray, and I would say to anyone else who's listening, remember, it's not easy for people who have to face the end of their time here. At least those they leave behind should be more effective and better helpers of that consolation, and to help them say goodbye with dignity and character and grace. Let it not be horrible. Let it. It's already fearful. You're talking about the unknown, and now you're going to let them leave with all of this grief and irritation and all of this concern. Don't do that to your loved ones. They deserve better than that. Release them with dignity, because that's what they lived for. No one should leave this planet worse than how they lived in it, and that's not God's will. So that's my prayer. That's my little pitch. Okay, I'm ready for my next call.
All right. We have calling from North Carolina, Keisha. And she's calling for general prayers. She said, pray for me, Dr. Price. Keisha, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hi, Dr. Price. How are you doing today?
I am wonderful, Keisha. How are you in North Carolina?
So-so.
So-so. So you're struggling
with... I'm living, aren't I?
Oh,
yeah.
Sweet. So what are you, just struggling with depression or disappointment? Which one is it?
Probably a little bit of both.
Yeah? What's going on? What's on your soul right now? Your soul is being tugged. What's pulling on your soul?
A whole lot of different things. I guess I just need direction, because everything that I try to do is not really working out. And I'm like, well, maybe I should, do I keep on pushing in this direction, or do I abandon everything and go in a whole other route? I'm not sure if I'm just in, like, that valley of mess, and I just have to wait it out. Like you said in the beginning, it's about being patient and just wait to the right time, I guess, whatever, to go forward. So, you know, it's just a whole lot of different things that's going on, so I don't know.
Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you is let's cheer up, because, see, when you're not cheered up, your brain can't even hear stuff, okay? So we're going to cheer you up, all right? The next thing is, even with patience, remember, I talk about wisdom and patience working together, not just waiting to get your head kicked in, but wisdom and patience, which means that's patiently working through, exploring your options, you know, weighing the possibilities and the feasibility of what you want happening, and being realistic about it. Like, the field that you're choosing, is that something you think is going to be around for a while, and is it realistic for who you are? You know,
that's what I'm saying. I don't even know, but a lot of people are telling me to stay on that path, stay on that. But I'm ready to scrap it, because I've tried it so many times, and I'm like ready to go in a whole nother different direction. Now that direction, now I can kind of see them phasing out, because people are not really smart anymore. So I, not saying everybody's dumb, but you know, they don't read, they don't do anything. Everybody goes to the internet. So I'm thinking about going a whole other direction, you know, something that satisfies me, but it's not going to be, is it going to be around, you know, like you said. So, but the direction that everybody's telling me to go in, I'm not really sure about that either, because of the temperament that people have in that profession does not really go align, it's not compatible with my temperament per se. So, and I just had my first bad experience trying to get into that profession. So I'm like, you know what, maybe I'm not supposed to be there, going in that direction either. So I'm like, I don't know what to do.
You had one bad experience, you're out. No, that's right. You're out. The ball went out.
No, it's not that. It's not even that. Every time I try to get into that, that was my first time working in it. But being around these type of professionals, they give off that impression anyway to me all my life. And here I am trying to get into it, trying to get up in this world that I don't really think I really fit. I fit because I do have the healing. I have the healing to do it, but my personality does not match those that are in, you know, that seem to be consumed with this profession, you know. So
well,
I don't
well,
know if I'm just coming from like an immature, maybe I'm not mature enough to handle the possession. You know what I'm saying? So maybe I'm like, or maybe I'm not just mature. Maybe I just need to wait it out. And then I will gradually, you know, as time go by, grow into this attitude that I see that is among the consensus of this profession. So I don't know.
Now, what are we talking about, Keisha? What is the field?
The medical field, the nurses. But nurses are terrible. They have the worst attitudes about everything, and it's just like, oh, my goodness, how can I? And I just can't get with that attitude. Like, they're very, you know, witchy, like.
We're going to work because I got nurses on the phone. There's no way in the world I'm going to have all these people on the phone and diet.
Well, they are, and it's just not with my experiences, even running to them. I don't even like working and going to a hospital because it's just like I just had a whole lot of bad experience. But I do have – I like to heal, and I like being around people, and I do like, you know, kind of doing the nurse's thing, the duties of a nurse. But to deal with the actual attitudes that come with it is just terrible.
Well, I'm probably, you know, I could probably walk through this and we could talk about the attitudes, but here's what I'm going to tell you what I hear. What I hear is that you like you like the hands-on. You don't like the institution. You don't like the fact that they have an accountability beyond helping the patient, you know, and that they have another. So what I hear is that God is going to have to, I'm telling you what I hear, that the Lord have to mature you so that you realize that just doing the thing you like is only a piece of the responsibility. But there's an accountability side to this that God wants you to learn, and a maturity to the systems and the institutions that keep them going so that you can do the thing you like.
Yeah.
No matter what you do in life. If I give you five other careers, you know what you're going to say? If I tell you, okay, you need to be an artist. Well, I like the art thing, and I like the draw thing, but I sure don't want to be bothered with the people when they have to get in their other thing because I don't want to play the games, and I don't want to do the politics, and I don't want to, But that's the whole thing that keeps it going.
Right. Yeah.
And so you and God are going to talk on what makes things work, because if the piece you want is just to put your little hands on thing, then you could just go to a little doctor's office, put some hands on some people, and there you go. But wherever you go, the institution and the systems are going to be there, and the people trying to navigate them and negotiate them to secure them are going to be there too. So how people are in their hands-on job versus how they are in the profession, two different things.
Yeah.
Now, the next thing I would like to say to you, because of maturity, is make sure that you have done a lot of research before you indict an entire profession.
Right.
That is one of the things that will definitely mark you as immature is when you make statements like, they're all wrong because I had a bad experience. They're all wrong because
but just the ones that I've had. Very negative. I can't say everybody, but everybody I've run into in the profession seem to be very, I just feel like,
But Keisha, let me ask you. Keisha, come on, let's back up, because I'm going to free you today because I need you successful, and I need you to have a job, make some money. Let me ask you this much. I want you to turn this thing around. This is everybody you've run into. Is it possible that since you are the common denominator, your perception need development?
My what?
Your perceptions need to be worked on. Because it's your
perspective. Yeah, I do. I do need another perspective. And that's something else I'm kind of working. That's in the works and trying to shift how I look at things. Because maybe I'm just coming from the wrong angle. You know, I'm just looking at it all wrong. So
listen to me. I'm going to talk. This is the Paula Price Show. We're going to talk together. And let me say this. Okay? This is the Paula Price Show. So I'm going to say this. I want you to win. No, sweetheart, I need you to win because I hear where God is with you. I want you to understand that you have to let go of some childhood aspirations of how you think adult life works. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back to your childhood. That's number one. But number two, which is even more important, you have got to recognize that your view is not the only view of life, and that you are, or something is hurting your soul. You are responding here because of a soul pain that we've not been able to tap into yet. Whether we make it on this call or not, that's another story. But what I hear in you is a soul pain. Your soul is hurt over something in this thing, but because it didn't deliver the way you expected. And so you have a thing about expectations in your whole life. Your whole life has issues with expectations because you expect it because of what you envision in your mind and what actually is possible in the flesh can be two different things. In our minds, we have the ideal. But in reality, every day of our life, we deal with the real. And so God wants to give you a balance between so that your judgments are just and balanced. And he wants to give you a real-world perspective of your ideal, which may or may not make sense in the possibilities of this profession or any profession, and the real. God wants to deal with this soul ache of yours because you have been disappointed so much you trust nothing. You have been disappointed so much that you meet new ventures already putting them on a probation. That they don't come with these kind of things, they're out. If I feel this, they're out. If I feel that, they're out. Whatever it is. And I want you to know, I want you to go back when this is over and listen to this thing. Your feelings are not necessarily prudent. Feelings, my beloved, are wounded. They are wounded. You are hurting. And you are hurting for things that have nothing to do with this profession and have everything to do with what you want to do with your life. That's why I want to pray for you. Because I can go in deeper, but I don't even know that this is the time for that for you. I just want you to remember your judgments right now are tied to a hit. You took a blow in your soul over something related to this. Apparently, it was tied to healing, it was tied to health, whether it was yours or your mom's or your uncle's or your brother's, but something in this area and your expectations were dashed. And you, in that dashed expectation, you made a heart vow. If I were doing this or when I get older or I'm going to fix it, and you had realized that the reason that happened was bigger than that vow you made because the institution is what it is. Mm-hmm. So I don't care what job you get, you are going to have this because we have to get you past that disappointment because that thing left a gash in you and you've not been able to get past it emotionally. Mm-hmm. And that's why you keep judging these people emotionally and not professionally. You have not been able to judge anything in this profession based on its professional standards, its criteria, its objectives, or anything. It's about your emotions, which means how it made you feel is how you determine its value, and that is not going to be helpful to you in your life. Mm-hmm. You're going to always be frustrated. I promise you, you are setting your life up to be disappointed and frustrated all the time because life is not about your emotions. Life is about its systems. And we have to adapt our emotions or grow ourselves up to work with those systems, and that's where you are. I promise you, I can share with you this because I know how it is coming out of that when you have big, big hopes and big, big dreams and you meet the big, big world points you, and then it disappoints you. And the reason it keeps happening to you is because God is making it happen because he wants to deal with you about your emotional judgments. This is the Lord. I'm telling you, as his representatives, as his mouthpiece right now, God is doing this. You're not meeting the best of that profession because you can't give it your best. But when you and God walk through this, and you're going to do it over the next several months, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be about a seven-month journey for you and Jesus on this. But when you're walking this thing month by month, then you're going to meet the best. Because here's what I've learned, and I can say this to you as a piece of wisdom. If you are a constant critic, then you're going to always meet things to criticize. If you are a constant appraiser, you're going to always see the things to praise. But whatever your emotional constancy is, that is what you're going to meet more often in life. And for you, because of this pain, because you're not a mean lady at all. You're not mean. You're a loving woman, in fact. You truly have compassion for people, and you want to heal them. But the first thing you got to heal is you.
Yeah.
And it's your pain. So God keeps making you meet the very things that you are that you're smarting from so that you can let him heal you.
Mm-hmm.
So you are in the grip of a divine setup, my beloved. I'm telling you, and I know I'm right on this. You know,
yes,
I can't be more certain. You are in the grip of a divine setup, and you know it, and it's hurting you because you don't know how to let Daddy fix it. I got this boo-boo, but I don't want you to touch it. I got this cut. God, please leave it alone. Okay, God, but heal it, but don't hurt it. And now the Holy Ghost is saying to you, if you let me. No, Jesus is saying, first of all, will thou be made whole? Are you in love with this agony more than you are interested in your healing and deliverance? Because sometimes we can get addicted to our agony.
Yeah.
And it sounds to me like you have become not only addicted to your agony, but you're dependent on it. You need it to get you out of things. You need it to get you off the hook. You need it to help you feel like you have a reason and a purpose for being here. And that none of that is going to work. I need you to make a decision. You don't have to do it on this call today to make a decision whether or not your agony or your destiny is more important.
Okay.
That's the first thing I want to tell you. The second thing I want to tell you is if you are going to live your life as a critic, then you will always be disappointed because the essence of criticism is disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make some decisions about that. Now, if you want to be a critic, that's fine, and you probably don't want to be in a profession. You probably want to be on one of the boards that polices the profession. See, there's a place for that, too. You see how it is? There's a place for you. So you might want to be one of those people who are going to sit on a council. You want to be on a review board or whatever that is. But you're still going to have to master the profession to give fair judgment.
Yeah.
So that's the next thing I would like to tell you. So if you decide, I don't like how any of them do, as far as I'm concerned, all I see are the problems, there's a place for people like that, and there are a place for critics. We need critics because they're the ones that make us look at things more closely and examine it and all of that. But if that's the case, then you're not talking about patient care. You're talking about now reviews and investigations. So you have to make up your mind what your call really is because you might be right. I mean, that could well be your call. But if it is, then you still don't have to vilify the people doing the best they can to fulfill that call.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the next thing that I would love to say to you. And then my final piece of counsel to you is that you take whoever broke your heart off the hook, because as long as you're carrying them around, they are a dead weight to your soul. And they stand between you and your pursuit of purpose. You're going to have to revisit that day that you were so brokenhearted as a kid and a teenager that you couldn't handle those emotions, because right now, Keisha, your emotions are your intelligence, your emotions are your judgments, your emotions are your engine, your emotions are your motivation. In other words, your emotions are disproportionate to your intelligence right now.
Yeah.
And you don't want that because you are not that kind of a lady. So I'm going to ask God to do some spiritual and emotional healing on your soul. And then I'm going to ask you to go back when you're finished and you've done your day, go back to your computer, come back, pick up this thing, call in the blog talk and log on and listen to this again, because there's a lot of wisdom that's just been given to you, and I want you to benefit from all of it.
All right.
So I can get you a job. My anointing will do that. My authority in God, I can do that. But that's not where we're stuck. We're stuck on you appreciating it, because you'll be there 3 weeks and you're going to be out.
Uh-huh.
So what's the point? So what we want to do is get you made whole. So that's the question. So I'm not going to put you on the spot to say, yeah, because a lot of times, to me, this is a yes to the Lord. But I can go on record to tell you this. If we don't deal with this in your soul, you are going to have this. Have a cyclical life of feast and famine, ups and downs, wins and losses, more losses than wins. That's what's going to happen, because we have to heal your soul. So you ready for your healing prayer?
Yes, I am.
good. I'm ready to, I just happen to have one. Father, Father God, you are so awesome. You are so almighty. You're so majestic. Father, we just love you. You are great. We're glad that we are your people, the sheep of your pasture. We are the children and the family that your hands have made. So, God, thank you for that. Lord, I lift up Keisha to you right now. Lord, I'm lifting up her soul aches. I'm lifting up her soul wounds. And I'm lifting up this whole string of disappointments that seem to dog her heels. God, I'm asking that you would take her back to the place of beginning in your spirit and do that excising of her soul that will pull this thing out of her gut and Lord, get her back on the road to recovery. Lord, I'm thanking you that she remembers how she got here, because we get blinded as we get older, but that she remembers how she got here, and Lord, that she expires those defenses that she took on that day when she vowed to not relive that experience. I'm asking that you would cause her to see, to relive it verbatim from the inside out and not just the outside in. And then, Father God, I'm asking for you to heal her emotions, to just, Lord, heal her soul. Let her know that the past is gone, forgetting those things that are behind, that she can press forward, God, to those things that are ahead. God, I'm asking that you would give her a clear vision, Lord, and that you would temper her emotions, increase her intelligence, increase her logic and ration, so that she has, Jesus, a just weight in the spirit, and that she's a just weight in her decisions. And Lord, I'm asking that you would keep her from making snap judgments in the future, that you would deliver her from this criticalness, Lord, that she took on as a cloak of defense, that you would deliver her from it, Father, in Jesus' name, and begin to show her the greatness of this institution, that she will bless these people who laid down their lives, who wrestle with institutions that she can't even imagine, just to go and do the thing that they want to do, and that's help a patient get healed. God, give her new sight. I'm asking you to change her lens, change her glasses, and put her in with the sight of the Almighty. And then, Lord, sit down and walk her through who she is in you, what you've ordained her to do, what you've constructed her to do, and then guide her into the path of righteousness for your name's sake, that she can enter the path everlasting in your kingdom. God, deliver her from these judgments and criticisms. Take her ear and circumcise it so she can hear with your hearing, and she can see with your sight, and that she can feel with your emotions, so that she can be made whole. Lord, we love this woman. I see her destiny. I see her calling. I see her strength. God, don't let her miss destiny because of something that should have been cut off a long time ago. And I bless you for doing it, Father God. We're just not going to let her miss destiny because of that. We're not going to let her stay bound in this because of that. We release her soul today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. All right.
You're going to be free, my girl.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. God bless you.
God bless.
Prophet.
Oh, yes, that was very good. That was good. We have on the line next, Dr. Price, Francine from South Carolina. So we've gone from North Carolina to South Carolina. And Francine is calling because she needs prayer concerning a transition from a previous ministry wound. She said, I thought I was over it. And then recently something happened that triggered that, and she realized she's not quite there yet. So, Francine, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hi, how are you?
I am fine, Francine. How are you doing in South Carolina?
I am doing pretty good, mostly.
Mostly. I like mostly.
Yes, but I want to make sure that I get healed from a previous ministry wound. I'm not saying it just keeps coming back up, but I keep having some kind of feeling. I can't really put my hand on it, so I know that my heart is not healed, and I know that my heart is not pure yet, and I want my heart to be healed, and I want to be pure.
Okay, so now let me ask you this. Where is the transition piece? Are you moving from one ministry to another? Is that why you're concerned?
Yes, I have moved from one ministry to another, and I want to make sure, too, that I serve this new leader properly. without any hindrances and not any reservations, and to make sure that my heart is still concerned my previous leader.
Okay, so now let me ask you this. Is it the previous leaders, is that situation is what keeps replaying itself in your mind now? Is that what you're reliving?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so you're reliving that. Now, and you started, it started when you began to contemplate going to this next ministry?
I didn't necessarily contemplate going to the next ministry. I was, let me see what was the correct terminology, dismissed from the previous ministry.
Oh, you were dismissed?
Yes.
With or without cause?
Pardon?
With or without cause?
Probably both. I think a
okay.
little.
So you're honest enough to say that there might have been a reason for it, but you think that the reaction was a little harsh, a little extreme?
Yes, I would say that the judgment was extreme, yes.
Okay, the judgment is extreme. You know, and I'm asking you because, you know, situations like this can get rather sticky, and I don't like to make quick, you know, conclusions or assumptions about them because there could be a lot. So now, let's talk about this. If you're going to this new ministry, you're thinking about going to this new ministry after having been dismissed, how many years have gone by since this happened?
Oh, not years. It's been about maybe 7-8 months.
Okay, so we've got 8 months that you're dealing with the last experience. Have you been in touch with your old leader since then?
No.
Okay. Just want to make sure, no contact, because it's important that we recognize, I'm trying to figure out what's bringing this up. So now, I'm getting a picture here, but will you be doing for this new minister what you did for the old?
The new ministry is well aware of the situation and circumstance, knows all parties involved. I was honest in my explanation to him concerning it, and he is, you know, open to using me in ministry, has used me in ministry, but I just want to make sure I am completely healed. I just need to be.
Okay. Well, what makes you think that you're not? Is it because you're reliving it that you feel that you're not? Or do you, because I have another opinion on it, so I'm asking you because before I give my opinion, is it because you're reliving it that you feel your heart is not pure, or can you honestly say, I have not truly forgiven?
Oh, okay. I know that I feel something in my heart, anxiety sometimes, not all the time, not every day, not constantly, sometimes, so maybe you're exactly right in what you're saying. I have the utmost respect for the previous leader, previous ministry. I love them to life. I promise you I do. It was just a very, very hard pill to swallow to not be a part of something that you've given 10 years, 9 months to
mm-hmm.
and served faithfully and generously for it to come to an abrupt.
Well, let me ask, and I'm going to really go online. Work with me with this because I'm really getting a picture, and I want to make sure my picture is correct.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you this, Francine. Were you dismissed for, was it performance? Was it for morality? Was it for confidentiality, fidelity? Why were you let go, and what made it abrupt? Now, you don't have to give me the ordeal. You could just sum it up in a word or two.
I was called into a meeting, basically, and said that I was functioning under a spirit of distance. And
you're breaking up. Start again.
Sorry.
You're breaking.
I'm sorry. I was called into a meeting abruptly and said that I was operating under a spirit of Jezebel, and the plan was to go through deliverance and healing and all of that, and in the midst of that process, that just did not happen.
Okay, so were you operating under a spirit of Jezebel? Do we know what that is? I mean, I know it's a catch-all phrase for when people don't like strong women, but in any event, were you operating under a Jezebelic spirit?
I don't feel so. That's what my leader felt so.
So after 10 years, 9 months, we wake up and you're now Jezebel.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And
now,
I serve very closely with my leader, very closely. Wherever
okay.
my leader went, I went, served at her home. I served.
Okay. All right. We're getting somewhere because my picture is taking shape. Now, did they give you any signs of what led them to that conclusion? Did they say, because you did this, this is a Jezebel act, this is a Jezebel act, this is a Jezebel act, response, behavior? Did they give you any kind of things like that?
I think they talked roundabout, but in a roundabout way, one of the things I think they felt as though if I was trying to control and or manipulate somebody in the ministry, which I can assure you was not the case. I will say I do have a very strong personality, and I know that I want better for other people than sometimes what they want for themselves.
Okay, so we're there. I hope you understand. I could jump in prophetically, but you know what? I want everybody to know that I can prophesy and dig into this, but they still need to, prophetically or not, these situations have very natural causes and manifestations, and people need to recognize it, because here's where I am. When I hear any kind of a tag that the church uses to put on somebody as an excuse for poor leadership or as an excuse for poor investigation, I am always suspect. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm always suspect because I feel like, especially somebody serves you for 10 years, the last thing they need is a slogan to get them out the door. So I'm going to assume that you did not do anything that drastic. But even if you did, let's say you did. I mean, I've got Ashley. Ashley's with me 10 years. There is no way in God's heaven or this earth that she's just going to wake up one day and just, I have a bad day, and she's out. That's not going to happen. I've invested a lot of time in her. I've invested a lot of money in her. I've invested a lot of my own person in her that I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. So I feel that what bothers me is that you didn't get the benefit of the doubt. You don't seem to have had an opportunity to give your side. There doesn't seem to have been a program to get you back on track or even a clear list of issues that they were holding against you. Now, that bothers me. So I can understand why you can't get healed, because injustice is hard to heal. When you feel like you have been treated unjustly, you feel betrayed, it is tough to get healed. All I need you to do is to say you're forgiven, and we can get you healed. But you're never going to stop having negative feelings about this. You're going to learn to live with them. Okay? And you're going to learn to keep them under wraps and not use them as your first point of judgment for future situations. That's all you're going to do. You're going to live this. This is 10 years of your life, 10 years, 9 months, and as close as you were to this person, and the best they can do is come up with some charismatic slogan to tell you why you're getting out. I think that's tacky. But the church is known for tacky, and far too many leaders are tacky because they won't even take classes on how to deal with difficult situations like this or to deal with problematic situations. You know, and we have to, that's part of where we are. You know, we thank God we're in a country where church doesn't have to be accountable for its craziness, because we appreciate being free to do the things that are right. But there are times that it gets nasty. So this was nasty, and I know it was nasty, and God is bothered by it being nasty because he's irritated, and you're going to have to learn to live with it. It's just one of those bad things in life that happens. Hey, we all got them, but they are to make you better and stronger. But God is saying if you're going to go forward, you cannot go forward in bitterness, anger, and you can't go forward in fear and intimidation either, because let me tell you something, a fearful leader is a dangerous leader to have on your staff. Nobody who wants to make things happen wants a cowardly leader, because a cowardly leader will always sell you out. They'll always change your rules. They'll always hide behind one thing or another. What happened to you was a cowardly leadership act. And so you're not going to want to do that. So you learn from it. You thank God. You learn from it. You bless your leader. Bless him. Wish him the best. Give God the praise for it and go on. But you are going to have to deal with the fact that injustice happens in our ranks. That's just the way it is.
Yes, ma'am.
So the only thing God is asking you to do is to forgive. This whole idea of forgive and forget is the dumbest thing I ever heard. Nobody forgets the pain. You have major surgery. You don't forget that. You lose your job. You don't forget the job you lost. You forgive the people for letting you go and you move on. But you need to forgive, and then you need to find a wholesome place in your memory to file this away as wisdom. And not bitterness, okay? I need you to not file it away as bitterness. File it away as wisdom for the future.
Yes,
now, if you can do that, then you can go forward.
That will be my plan.
Then that's what I think you should do. And you're not going to give the new guy the old person's medicine because
that's how
you want to handle it. Okay, and don't. And you're not going to bring it up to him. You're not going to sit down and discuss it with him and all of that. Don't let anybody pick your sores. A lot of times, too much discussion allows people to pick your soul sores. Don't let anybody pick your sores on this. Let this thing scab over. Let it heal up. Let the scab fall off and get on with life.
Yes, ma'am.
You're going to do well. I have every confidence in you. You're going to do well, and you're going to give. Now, you might give a little slower. You might be a little more, you know, a little more circumspect, but still. Trust God. All things happen together for the good. God's going to make this turn out for your good and for your leader's good.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because sometimes God lets leaders do dumb things so he can give them smart lessons.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, we're working for a king that has to make it all work together. So I'm happy about you going forward. I think you feel better already now, don't you?
I do.
Because we just didn't go.
I tried to initiate additional conversations to talk and to try to work this out. I was very open to deliverance and everything that was required of me, I did. And even when I was sat down in ministry, I still showed up at every event, every prayer session, every church that we needed to attend, everything. I didn't quit. I felt like I was waiting until the healing and the deliverance came, and then abruptly it was just.
Well, for whatever reason, I mean, and we can go into that, but let me tell you something. You can't ever get delivered from a false accusation.
Okay.
That I mean, that's not a character flaw. That's an injury. That happened. False accusations happen to you. They don't come from you. And so whatever the case is, and I don't pretend to have all of the information, but what I do know is that somebody who can be faithful for 10 years and 9 months suddenly turned it into Jezebel, I'd have to investigate that. And I'd have to find out what those external factors are and what external things happened in your life to cause you your character to flip that sensibly. That would be my response. But then I'm curious about things like that. I don't feel like I make a bad mistake. See, for me to turn around and to kick out the people who have been with me that long, I'm saying that I was blinded for 10 years and I made a bad leadership judgment and a bad mistake, and I'm not willing to say that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to treat my people like that because I'm not willing to say I was that dumb for 10 years or that I was dumbfounded or blind because that's not what I'm willing to say. So I'm going to get you delivered. We're going to pray now. And we're going to let you move on. You're going to go forward looking unto Jesus, forgetting those things that are behind.
Yes, ma'am.
Because bad things happen to good people. God, thank you for Francine. Thank you for who she is. Thank you for the life that you've called her to live and the victory you put in her life. We bind up every familiar spirit that's taking advantage of this. We break every manipulating curse that's causing this thing to work in her psyche. We command nostalgia and all of the former things that bind us to the past to loose her and let her go. God, we clear her way, we clear the air, we clear her path, and we give her, God, the direction she needs and the freedom she needs to go forward and stay in your service and serve your servant in Jesus' name. Let it be so, and I command peace on your life, peace in your sleep, peace in your work, peace in your thought life, peace in your relations. In Jesus' get it, Batara. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I got to go. I ran out of time. Keep me posted, Francine, and I love you dearly. God bless you.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We're done.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.